A reading from Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Harry Potter, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings. Fantasy adventure stories are a favorite in my home. We have spent hours and hours watching, reading, enjoying, and analyzing the relationships between Harry and Voldemort, Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader, Frodo, and the burden of the ring he carries. These are stories about light and darkness, struggle and hope. And with every scene, we are rooting for the hero's light to win over the dark forces. But no hero would be very interesting or realistic if he or she didn't have some type of dark element within themselves. Sometimes it's their own darkness that they have to look squarely in the eye before they can gain strength and move forward in their mission. And as we know from their stories, with every victory, there is a cost. Also in these stories are wise, kind advisors that help the heroes prepare for their journey by showing them both the light and the darkness they will face. Simeon, from our story today, could be compared to Professor Dumbledore from Harry Potter, or Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. Simeon is old and wise, devout and righteous, and full of the Holy Spirit. He has waited his whole life to see the Lord's Messiah. In fact, God told him he wouldn't see death until he did. And when Mary and Joseph walk into the temple, all his hopes are fulfilled and God's promises kept. He comes to Mary and Joseph, scoops baby Jesus into his arms, and begins to proclaim wonderful things about him. At first, his message is full of light and promise, but it's the first message Mary will hear about her son that weaves within it a dark prophecy. At first, Simeon is filled with a song that begins with these words, "Master, you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." He proclaims that he sees a light of revelation and glory for all people. Yet he also takes Mary aside and gently tells her that there is more to this story. Her child will also cause the falling and rising of many. He will be opposed for revealing the inner thoughts of the people. And because of this, a sword will pierce her soul. Salvation is light and glory, but it is also rejection and a sword. Simeon sees all of this in this tiny face of Mary's son. Well, if Simeon is Professor Dumbledore, perhaps Anna is Professor McGonagall. Wise, no-nonsense, focused Anna is an 84-year-old prophet, and she has her own message for the people of Israel. She is also a devout woman who prayed and fasted in the temple night and day. She also has waited a long time to see God's fulfillment of Israel's hope for a Messiah. And when she sees Jesus, she proclaims that he is the one they've been looking for, the one who would redeem Jerusalem. Together, Simeon and Anna are voices of testimony that Jesus is the fulfillment of Israel's hope and our hope as well. But what about Mary and Joseph? What are they thinking about all of this? These two parents desire to keep the law of Moses. It's important to them in their Jewish religion. They had journeyed to Jerusalem to dedicate their son to God and for Mary's purification ritual. This was to happen when the baby was about 40 days old. They must not have had much money, since the regular sacrifice was a lamb. But for those who couldn't afford that, two turtle doves would do. These parents had a 5-week-old baby, their first child. They didn't have much money, and they're traveling to Jerusalem when they're probably physically and emotionally exhausted. I can't imagine Mary was able to keep Jesus on his sleep, eat, play schedule as they traveled. Perhaps they arrive at the temple feeling weary and vulnerable. They're simply trying to be faithful to God and keep their baby safe in the process. They are met by wise, kind, excited Simeon. And as he takes their baby into his arms and speaks words of light and glory, they are amazed. maybe even excited. But then the scene changes, and Mary's light becomes filled with shadow. Simeon delivers to her the news, the dark side of her son's future. How does she take it? Is she anxious or scared? Does she suddenly feel the weight of what she has signed up for, to be the mother of the Son of God? Maybe she can't see it. She's too close to Jesus as his mother. She's exhausted. Maybe she's in denial because the prophecy of Simeon simply makes it too painful to move on. After all, she has to go back to Nazareth and raise this child. Simeon and Anna can enjoy the luxury that, from what I hear, is the best part of being a grandparent. You get to hold and love the child for a while and then hand him back to his parents. Mary's in a different place. Are we like Mary? Exhausted, busy, too close to see the truth that is right in front of us. Deep down, we know that our lives also involve some type of darkness. Sometimes it's grief. The loss of someone we love can feel like a sword to our soul. As we figure out how to go on without them, the darkness seems too thick to walk through. Sometimes our darkness is brought about by physical or mental sickness that has taken too much of our light, maybe even leading to addiction, regret, or broken relationships. We feel shame, and we go to great lengths to hide our weakness. And we all witness the deep darkness of the world around us. What do we often do? Avoid, hide, distract, stay busy, cover up, put on a smile. We exhaust ourselves, trying not to acknowledge the darkness. But it is there, nevertheless. It's a part of every living human. No one is without it. It is embedded in the very story of our salvation. God chose to put on our humanity to come and experience our darkness firsthand. We remember this every time we take communion. And hear these words. This is Christ's body, broken for you. Yes, light is always mingled up with the darkness, but if we don't acknowledge the darkness, who needs the light? Doesn't the radiance of the light grow dim in all of our efforts to erase the dark parts of our story? Simeon sees both the light and the darkness in the face of Jesus, and yet he is still filled with joy. He sees the cost as well as the healing, and he's able to gather up all that pain and hope together, and he finds what he's been waiting for. For him, the light outweighs the darkness, and he finds in this face his salvation and the salvation of the whole world. Can we have eyes like Simeon? When have you been overjoyed because you caught a glimpse of that bright light of your salvation in the midst of your darkness? We know that our salvation will be complete when we take our final breath, but there are small deaths we will have to face along the way, and these can lead to more life. Simeon calls us to look straight into the darkness. Don't deny it. Don't look away. This kind of gazing, it can bring growth and change. If we sit with the pain, we might realize what we need to let go of and surrender to God. It might lead us to honesty within ourselves as Jesus begins to reveal our deepest thoughts. Staring down the darkness of the world might stir us to courage for action, to justice, action that might make us unpopular. The truth about Jesus is it was never meant to be easy to follow him. It wasn't easy for Mary or the disciples, and it isn't easy for us. When Jesus brings truth to light, we are faced with a decision. And our choice will likely cost us something. As Fred Craddock says, Jesus precipitates the centrally important movement of one's life toward or away from God. As much as we may wish to join the name of Jesus only to the positive, satisfying, and blessed in life, the inescapable fact is that anyone who turns on the light creates shadows. We can be Mary with our eyes afraid to look at the darkness, and because of this, we might miss that radiant light. God is calling us to have the eyes of Simeon. As you look into the face of Jesus with your mind's eye, acknowledge the pain as you take in the promise and find your salvation. Well, we might wonder, how can we have the eyes of Simeon? Simeon and Anna are examples of faithful followers who have lived a long life waiting for God's promises. They are people of prayer and worship and open to the Holy Spirit. They are pure in heart. And as it says in the Beatitude in Matthew, the pure in heart will see God. Throughout their long lives, they are probably no strangers to pain and loss and waiting for answers. But in this darkness of trust, they hung on to that belief that God keeps promises. We can also pray and worship and keep our lives open to the Holy Spirit. But we also remember that many of us are on different places in this journey. Like Mary and Joseph, some days we simply just show up. And we are faithful in trying to move our lives toward God and not away. We add our trusting voices to the voices in this story and in all the stories since. The darkness of 2020 has been so thick. The pandemic, the death toll, injustice, division, isolation, missed opportunities. Have we taken a deep look at these experiences with honest hearts and minds? Have we allowed these dark times to teach us about ourselves? What do we hold on to? And what do we let go of? And how have we made it through? I have heard a consistent message from our pastor, Ryan Price, throughout this year, helping us keep the eyes of Simeon alive. He has preached over and over the messages of hope in the midst of fear, forgiveness among hatred, trust in the face of dismay. We have kept our sight on Jesus, and Jesus has been our light in the dark night. And in just a few days, we will ring in the new year, and many will no doubt breathe a sigh of relief that 2020 is over. But here's the thing. We know that the trouble doesn't go away with the turning of one calendar day. Yes, we do have hope of things getting better, but the darkness doesn't end. We will need the eyes of Simeon as we move into our new year. Many of you know that my mom died unexpectedly just 3 months ago. And I must admit, I have had trouble seeing with Simeon's eyes since then. I've been angry, struggled with doubt and regret, and even tried to numb myself to the pain of her loss. This dark journey is a part of loving her. But there have been moments of grace where the light has shone through. During the final hours of her life, she underwent many invasive procedures in the hospital, and I hated thinking about her having to endure that pain. But then one day, I was just taking a walk, and I had a vision that when those procedures began and her death became inevitable, she started seeing something so beautiful, so brilliant, the light of her Creator, of her salvation. And as this light became brighter and brighter, she felt less and less of the pain here on earth until she no longer had to endure any of it at all. No more pain, just light and love. She was made whole. This is our ultimate salvation, when we walk into the arms of the one who has loved us our whole lives. But we are saved a little bit every day here and now. Simeon said that Jesus will cause the falling and the rising of many. The experience of falling is no fantasy adventure. The pain is real. It comes in unanswered questions, in waiting, in loving. To love is to hurt, and to live is to die. But there is also the rising. Because of Jesus born to us at Christmas, salvation gets the last word.